I'm going to preach in a minute on Joshua 1, 1 to 9. But I thought it'd be good to read it, get a bit of an overview. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. God doesn't kind of muck around, does he? Like as if Joshua didn't know. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I have promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates. All the Hittite country to the great sea on the west, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There we go. Now, that's in the context of, you know, Moses knew he was going to die and they grieved him. So it's not like God's just saying, don't be discouraged, get over yourself, move on. No, they'd already done the grieving, okay? This was the next step. And the reason we want to start here is I think it's important that before we, you know, we'll talk next week about relationship and support networks and stuff like that because I think that's important. We have other messages probably around grief or whatever over the next few months. But I thought it was really important to start here with a faith foundation. Because feelings are important to acknowledge, important to process, but we don't live by feelings, we live by faith. And it's a very, very different thing. Melissa and I had what we believe the privilege of living in one house when we were growing up, not together. She was in Kempsey, I was in Nambour. But we both grew up, both our houses, we lived in them for 18 years of our lives. And Melissa's parents sold their house only a few years ago, and my parents still living in theirs. And so we came from a very stable kind of environment. You know, went to town, to church, to school, nothing changed. So it's an understatement to say we're not good with change. We don't like change. And we're probably like most of you, we only like change if we're in control of it. It's different if we can initiate it and control it, isn't it? But most change in life we can't control. And so I think part of today's sermon is about, you know what, life's full of change. If you're like me, you just kind of live in this denial that something will stay the same. But very few things actually stay the same for very long. And so it's a great opportunity to actually, you know what, there's a difference between change and transition. Change is what happens to us. Transition is how we can navigate change in a healthy way. And so you're going to hear a lot about transition over the next few months because I think God can help us navigate that well in a healthy way and actually come out the end of it better than we went into it. So there's some handouts on your seats, not the pretty coloured ones, we'll get to them later, but the more boring looking ones. Yeah, of course I did. Who knew? Somewhere, we're going to Willie. She didn't think your seat was important. Just kidding. Don't know. There'll be some around. If you've got a spare handout, Melissa wants one, so wave it around. There's a spare one. Kaz has got a spare one. Judah's got a spare one. I think I've changed my what's on my notes to what's on the PowerPoint too. Can we have the first point up? During change, we can, so you don't have to, but I think it's really helpful to believe that God knows what he's doing. Okay? He did create the world, created you. He has some clue. Joshua 1:1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, God had let Moses know that he wouldn't be entering the promised land, and it wasn't because he was too old or too frail. A verse that's not on your, I might come up there, Deuteronomy, it's not on your sheets. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Isn't that amazing? I met a guy like that the other day, my mate's dad, 93, he still drives to bowls. I said, how are you? Are you a good driver? He goes, yeah. His son wasn't so sure. Moses, I'm sure, was up to the task, but it wasn't God's time. It was God's time for change. Hey, Moses wanted to go to the promised land, but it wasn't God's will for him. Romans 13:1 says, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, there's a whole series of sermons in that that can really mess with your head. But at the end of the day, I'll just say this, right? I do believe that God gives authority, right? And he doesn't take it back. It's one of the reasons our world's messed up. He's given authority to man, and man's messed it up. But God still has authority. He still has power and certainly has control over the seasons, over the times, and things that happen. And we need to remember that and acknowledge that. I've come to believe this verse with all my heart. Some days better than others. And realize that God, you know, he can say, I will submit to my authorities until they upset you. And then you got to do what Judas did and re-surrender all over again. But I've come to believe this verse with all my heart and realize that God is in control and he does know what he's doing. And there's, you know, I give lots of stories of this, but one is when I first moved out of home, I moved to Nunda in Brisbane. It's a suburb. And I met a couple of people from the church there and I connected in that church. I was going to go church shopping. You ever done church shopping? I haven't. But I was going to. But I went to Nunda and I was so welcome and so accepted, I just stayed. And experienced an amazing 12 months of being connected into that church. Now, at the end of that 12 months, now you understand a guy who'd lived at home for 18 years of his life, same school, same town, blah, 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 blah. Huge change to leave home and go to Brisbane, even though it wasn't that far away. New church, settled in, loved it, and near the end of the year they said, oh, we're going to amalgamate this church with two others. And I went over my dead body. And you think, you know, you think the stubborn people are the old people? Not always. Not always. So I was part of the, I know you find this hard to believe, but I was part of the righteous rebellion. And our first few meetings at North Brisbane, they called it, I wore my Nunda badges. We had uniforms and you'd have little things on your shoulders that said where you came from. And me and my mates showed up in our Nunda badges because we weren't going to change. We liked what we had. You know, what I found over the years is I just gained more friends. And North Brisbane's now, I think, one of the biggest and healthiest churches, Salvation Army churches in Australia. Hey, God knows what he's doing. And you know what? He's okay with us dragging our feet. But let's not drag them too long because we can trust that he knows what he's doing. He sees the future. We don't. He knows what's best. We don't. We think we do. We have a bit of a clue. But he knows what's best. I believe that if we have to face a process that we may not want to and didn't initiate, then we need to trust God, that he is in it, and trust him to provide for us and guide us through it. Number two, during change, we must believe that God's promises don't change. I love this. And I could probably put in there, God's vision doesn't change. God's purposes don't change. And you know, God's vision for this church won't change. God's mind about longevity won't change. Okay? In this context, for Joshua and the people of Israel, you'll see underlined, I think, have we still got the bits underlined? Yeah, there you go. No, anyway, it's on your sheets, I think, the underlined bits. Because there's promises in there, right? He said, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. So the promise is you'll inherit the land. I'll give you every place you set your foot. Your territory will extend from here to there, and no one will be able to stand against you. They're the same promises, actually, that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua. Generation after generation after generation, the purposes of God don't stand. Here's another interesting purpose. I think Australia's the great south land of the Holy Spirit. That's always been on the heart of God. It's prophesied over the South Seas before any boats landed here. It's spoken over our Indigenous people. This is a great south land of the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, this is God's land. God doesn't change his mind, friends. And you can buck up against that all you want. But last time I checked, God's more powerful than me. And I can bang on the door and bash my head against it, and the only one that gets hurt is me. Because God's actually not budging. He's not a democracy. I'm really sorry. You don't get to vote. You don't get to vote on who runs the universe. You can vote on a bunch of other stuff. And we, you know, sometimes we just, I've chucked tantrums about God. Am I the only one? Yeah, I don't like this God. He goes, that's okay. You don't have to like it. It's just the right thing. Never told you, I'm not happy about this. That's okay. You don't have to be happy about it. It's just the right thing. We okay? God came to Joshua, the new leader, and reminded him of all the promises he had made over generations to the nation of Israel. Hundreds of years. God was saying, there is change happening, but I'm still with you. I'm still with you. And my promises to this group of people have not changed. Can you hear that this morning? God's promises to this group of people have not changed. In recent weeks, we have been exploring what we believe has been and will be God's vision for longevity. You know, bringing my community home as a vision, that's what we want to see, is actually what longevity's seen before me and Melissa got here. Before the previous officers, Darren and Karen, got here, Longevity was bringing people, bringing their community home, I think, from the beginning. That's God's heart for this church. That's God's heart for you guys. We've already seen the vision fulfilled, and I believe as we continue to follow and obey his leading, there will be even greater fulfillment of this vision for Longevity Salvos. So God reassures us that his promises haven't changed. And finally, he encourages us to draw strength from him. I love this third point because, you know, God repeats himself. You know I say that. I've just got used to it. You know, when you're a parent, how many times have I had to tell you that? You ever said that to your kids? No, me either. And you know what? As a leader, it's very similar. They reckon after, is it 3 or 7 times, people just start to hear you. It's a really fascinating thing in this passage. How many times did God say, be strong and courageous? How many times? 3 times. God repeats himself. Why? Because we need to hear it over and over. When we, probably shouldn't share that story. Anyway, when we're talking to the kids about moving, one of the kids got quite emotional because they heard the first part of what I said and they didn't hear the rest. Because when we hear something, the emotion comes up and our ears somehow get blocked. Yeah. And so then I just repeated myself. It's okay. And you know what? When God repeats something, there's a couple of things in the Bible. One is Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, very truly. When you see that, it's probably important. When God repeats himself, it's probably important. I find if I have trouble hearing God's voice, you know, through the word or however you're trying to connect with God and hear his direction, I don't stress about that anymore because I just believe God will keep telling me until I get it. The Bible says he remembers that we are dust. In other words, we're a bit thick. I'm actually okay with that because I can be a bit thick because God's not. I can be a bit thick because God's committed to me no matter how deaf I am, how ignorant I want to be, and how much I want to go my own way and shut him out. He'll just keep coming and keep speaking. And that's what he did with Joshua. Three times God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Usually when God says something like that to us, it's because it's not already present. Oh, you shouldn't be afraid. Often angels showed up and said, don't be afraid. Why are they saying don't be afraid? Because the person was afraid. And we do denial instead. Oh, I'm not afraid. Yeah, you are. Shh. God, so it's okay to have the emotion, but then God speaks into that. Why did he say be strong and courageous to Joshua? Because he wasn't feeling strong and courageous. He wasn't feeling ready. He wasn't feeling prepared, but he'd been Moses offside most his life. He was ready. He was prepared, but he needed the God of the universe to say, hey, bro, you are so ready for this, and I am with you, and because of that, you will be strong and courageous. And it's not about how you feel right now, because Moses has just gone home. Not only was God encouraging Joshua, but he gave him the secret. I want you to hear this today. So important. He gave him the secret to being strong and courageous. And here it is. Can someone grab me a Bible? Has anyone got a Bible somewhere? Mine's on my phone these days. God bless you. It's pink. I can't do pink. I'm kidding. Can I lose the spot? Is that all right? Do not let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now, can I say that's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Okay, you're not meant to go and stone someone that's committed adultery. That's Old Testament. And you know how you interpret the Bible? It's not through doing a Bible course. It's through surrendering to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote it, and he's the best one to interpret it. Now, plenty of people have gone off to Bible college, and they've gone weird. Because it's not about information, it's about revelation. And revelation only comes by the Holy Spirit. See, I don't care anymore if I read this and get nothing from it. I just keep reading till I do. Because my job's to read it. The Holy Spirit's job is to give me understanding of it. That's how it works. So that we may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Then. I want to really encourage you to press into this book, because I think there's a really strong connection there. If you want to be strong and courageous, if you want to navigate life. Now, I just want to share a couple of concerns this morning. And every year, well, before we came here, for 15 years, this church has been doing what you call natural church development. And I'm going to hang on to your Bible for a minute, is that all right? And natural church development is just a health check of a church. This is a healthy church. You may have felt that, but we actually have evidence that it is. And this research that's been done now for many years, right around the world, this guy wanted to do research around what makes a healthy church. And it's not the pastor or pastors. It's not the building. It's not even the style of music. But it's things like, you measure these things like leadership. Every church has leadership, but healthy churches have empowering leadership. Every church has some level of spirituality, but healthy churches have passionate spirituality. And there's eight of these, what they call quality characteristics. And for years, ours was holistic small groups. It was our lowest. And finally, it's not. we finally start to nail life group, small group ministry in our church. Praise God, after years of working on that. That's so good. But one of the things that continues to bother Melissa and me is in passionate spirituality, which comes up quite healthy because there's a whole bunch of questions around that. But there's two questions that seriously bother me. And I just need to challenge you on these today because it's so relevant to what we're talking about. You want to bring those up, Adam? I think I gave them to you. Or Braden. Question 72. The Bible is a powerful guide for me in the decisions of everyday life. Scores low in our church. And in the name of Jesus, and lovingly, I want to say, what are you thinking? Oh, my gosh. I base all my decisions on that. If you're not basing your decisions on that, what the hell are you basing your decisions on? Seriously. Because that's our compass, friends. If you call yourself a Christian, that's your compass. If that's not the compass you're using, you're going to end up lost in the desert somewhere, spiritually. So I'd love to see that rise. Hey, the Bible is a powerful guide for me. You know what? I've made some of my best decisions by sitting alone with God and His Word and waiting till I get direction. Key word, waiting. Key word, waiting. Key word, waiting. We don't like to wait. Sitting with His Word and His Spirit. Not with His Word alone, but with His Word and His Spirit. You know, I know how the Holy Spirit comes? Very easy. You just surrender your will. Okay, that's not easy. But that's how the Holy Spirit comes. So if you read the Word with self-will, you probably won't get nothing. But if you surrender your will and you come to the Word, I can guarantee God will speak and you will go, wow. Happened to me the other day. You probably get a sermon on discernment before the end of the year because I finally found in Jeremiah 6, after preaching on it, reading it for years, Jeremiah 6 is all about discernment. I'm going, man, if that's not a message we need to hear today, I don't know what is. Okay, the power of the Word and the message of the Word. The other question is just as concerning, question 84. I enjoy reading the Bible on my own. Actually, I don't care whether you enjoy reading the Bible on your own. You just need to. But I think we get to a point where we start to enjoy it. That's passionate spirituality. The other day I was reading the Word, I enjoyed it. Hey, read the Word until you enjoy it. Okay, that's actually the key. I read the Word for years before I enjoyed it. And then you start to enjoy it because it starts to work for you. Time for some confessions. You ready for some confession? You love it when I confess stuff. Just admit it. No, I'm too scared to do that. Hi, I'm Andrew. I'm a recovering paper hoarder. I can show you my garage. Stop it. This is my confession time. So I'm trying to cull my mounds of paper and I'm making some progress. There is some progress. I did a little bit of progress. There's some old college notes. They haven't quite gone yet, but they will. Seminar notes. You have it on record. And all kinds of stuff. I threw out some videos the other month. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I did it. But I threw them out. It's very freeing. However, I'm keeping some things. Right? I have encouragement letters from people from the last 30 years. And it's not the paper, but the connection and the relationship they represent. It's not the paper or the words, but the relationship the words have helped build. It's not the paper or the words, but the person they have come from and the relationship that's built by them. Do you get it? It's not the paper or the words, but the person. You come to this book looking for the person behind it. Oh my gosh, you will have such a great ride. You just see it as another book. You'll find nothing there. I encourage you. I challenge you. today. Look for the person of the book, the person behind the book, the person of Jesus Christ. And then we will be strong and courageous. That's the promise. Try it out. You've got nothing to lose. At this time for our church, and for that matter of any time of change in our lives, we need to remember these lessons from the book of Joshua. God knows what he's doing. His promises haven't changed. And drawing nearer to him by his Spirit and through his word will reassure us that everything will be okay. As I invite the band up this morning, I just thought it was a good time. And like, there's no pressure. We're not going to collect these and make a record and come and keep you accountable or anything. But on this sheet are our values, who we are as a church. We're authentic. We're into relationship. We're into change or transformation, change of the human heart, behavior. We're into empowerment. Seeing people empowered into who God made them to be. Our mission, long before Melissa and I got here, was love God, love people, love life. It's what we do. We love God. We love people. We love doing life. And our vision has always been, but only recently been articulated, bringing my community home. This is home. Because God's here and we're here. And so you don't have to do this today. And this is not something, you know, this is something for you to take home and put on your mirror. Because the next few months will be a up and down ride. And it's probably right time to go, you know what, do I believe that I'm called by God to be part of this faith community? And then I need to commit to that by faith. And the faith will help me navigate the feelings. The faith will help me, because I still, you know, every time I sing that song, I've never been abandoned, I think, man, I felt abandoned. Doesn't mean I don't feel abandoned, it just means by faith we know we're not abandoned. Does that make sense? And so we walk by faith, we live by faith. But this morning, if you want to make a stand, if you want to come forward with your piece of paper and sign it on the mercy seat, just as a witness that, you know what, I just believe this is my faith community. These are my values, mission, vision. I can buy into this. I can commit to this. And sign this and take it home. Stick it on your mirror. If you struggle to sign it today, take it home, stick it on your mirror and wrestle with that. But if you really want to sign it today, sign it, take it home, and reflect on it often over the next 4 months. I would say the next 12 months as we commit to what we believe God wants us to do individually. Let's use this time to worship, to reflect, to do what God leads us to do as the band plays.